Doctor, my eyes have seen the years. Welcome to the Voice of Health with our host, Dr. Robert Prather of the Prather Wellness Center, where lives are changed every day through the natural approach to health care. I'm Lisa Prather. Good morning, Dr. Prather.
Good morning, Lisa.
Well, we're going to talk about another exciting subject in healthcare, and that's homeopathic medicine, something that we do at the Prather Wellness Center, and you've been doing for over, 27, almost 30 years now?
Almost 30 years, yes.
Well, I think it's always important, especially for our listeners, to know the history of homeopathic medicine. It's been around for a long time. Let's talk about that.
Well, homeopathic medicine was actually invented by Samuel Hahnemann, who was a German chemist, a scientist, a doctor, who actually was a contemporary of Napoleon. Matter of fact, it was his work with Napoleon and Napoleon's army that actually made homeopathic famous. Napoleon's army was being decimated by cholera, and Samuel Hahnemann actually came up with remedies that actually saved his army. The fame of him actually doing that spread throughout Europe, and homeopathic became a very well-known and very famous type of remedy. It actually came over to the United States. And at the turn of the century, in the 1900s, 1880s, 1900s, about 20% of all physicians were actually homeopathic. Matter of fact, most of the major universities, medical universities in the United States actually taught homeopathic, and a lot of the very famous homeopathic doctors actually came from some of the most prestigious medical universities.
Are you talking about like Harvard?
Harvard, University of Michigan, quite a few of the different types of universities, and also about 20% of the hospitals at that time were actually homeopathic. Matter of fact, during the Spanish flu, was another case where the homeopathic actually shone through. The medical hospitals actually had about a 90% death rate, whereas the homeopathic hospitals only had about a 10% death rate with the Spanish flu.
That's a big difference.
So it was a very big difference. So homeopathic was actually very well accepted, very well known. Matter of fact, the American Medical Association was actually formed to actually combat the rise of homeopathic, because many physicians actually saw that the homeopathic medicine might actually overtake the pharmaceutical as the leading actually medicine of America. Some of the people that actually found homeopathic as their primary source was the British royalty. Queen Victoria actually introduced the homeopathic to the royal family. And even to this day, the royal physician is a homeopath. Matter of fact, homeopathy is a crown-protected profession in England. In Europe, France, and Belgium, homeopathy actually in many physicians actually accounts for 40% of all the prescriptions. And in India, the prime minister's physician is actually a homeopath. And in India, quite a large number of the medicines that are actually prescribed are homeopathic. It is becoming very well known here in the United States again. Without homeopathy, we would not have modern medicine.
And why is that?
Well, homeopathy actually came up with a lot of the purities of actually making pharmaceuticals. It actually came up with quite a few of the prescriptions, early prescriptions, and had a huge impact on the pharmaceutical industry. Matter of fact, an example of a early homeopathic medicine was nitroglycerin.
Oh.
You've heard of nitroglycerin, right. Taking nitroglycerin for heart attacks, and it's a very well-known medicine, but that is actually a homeopathic medicine. This actually brings up the whole law of similars, which is the basis of homeopathy. If you take nitroglycerin in large amounts, it will actually constrict the blood vessels and actually imitate the symptoms of a heart attack. What you do with nitroglycerin tablets, if someone's having a heart attack or shortness of breath, those types of things, they would actually put that underneath their tongue. There would be an absorption. With small amounts, you actually have a dilation of the arteries so that you actually would reverse a lot of those symptoms and wouldn't have that. And that's the law of similars, which is what Hahnemann actually based his homeopathic remedies on. So if a particular product would cause a certain symptom, the opposite would actually occur if you actually use a small amount. When you're actually, all anesthesiologists know about this law, because if you actually give a small amount of an anesthetic, you actually have the opposite effect. Instead of putting someone to sleep, you'll wake them up and really revive them and get them all revved up.
Mm-hmm.
Matter of fact, if you give a small amount, you might actually find your patient, you know, up and jumping around.
Right, which you don't want to do.
Don't want to do during surgery. So it's something that has to be known. You can actually see that the same law in that in many of the different types of homeopathic remedies. Matter of fact, homeopathy contributed quite a few different types of ideas to modern medicine, vaccinations being one.
Well, when you're talking about that, isn't vaccinations a small...
A vaccination is exactly the same idea, where you mm-hmm. give a small amount of an actual disease, and that way you can actually build an immunity. The same way as allergy shots, giving a very small amount of a particular allergen mm-hmm. actually creates a resistance in the host. Same philosophy within homeopathics. So with that, you can actually see some of the laws actually taking place within homeopathics. The other thing that homeopathy actually contributed to modern medicine was many of the drug trials. One of the most famous ones is the double-blind trial mm-hmm. that was actually invented by homeopathy and is the gold standard in actually testing out to see if medicines actually work or not. So, of course, many of the early homeopathic pharmaceuticals actually then transferred into regular pharmaceuticals, and one of the very famous ones was Eli Lilly Company. Its background was
here in Indianapolis.
Eli Lilly Company was actually an herbal and homeopathic pharmaceutical. When they actually started in with the oil-based pharmaceuticals, then Eli Lilly actually saw the opportunity to get into that. And that is actually the background of our own famous Eli Lilly Company.
So interesting.
Yeah, it's quite fascinating. And what happened is that there was actually then a war between homeopathy and pharmaceutical medicine.
When you say war, what do you mean?
It was a war in many different types of ways. They were trying to force legislation against each other. There was a lot of competition, a lot of negative types of things that were said in the press between each one of them. And they finally agreed to join forces. Mm. And with that, they also helped to form the FDA. And homeopathic pharmaceuticals were actually classified and codified within the FDA allowables.
Which they are today.
Which they are still today.
Mm-hmm.
So homeopathic is classified as a legitimate pharmaceutical within the FDA. And but it is over the counter because there are no side effects with homeopathy, so they felt free in allowing the public actually using it without a prescription. So homeopathy and medicine actually joined forces, and they actually adopted a lot of the homeopathic principles into pharmaceuticals, which made a lot of the purity, a lot of the testing, and we really wouldn't have the modern pharmaceutical industry without homeopathy in there.
Mm, very interesting. I think it's real important for people to know the history.
History kind of tells you,
you know. Think this is the way it's always been.
Or, certainly.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't really understand where you are unless you understand where you came from.
Right. Right. Well, after today's show, if you have a question for Dr. Prather, you can go to thevoiceofhealthradio.com to ask your question on our Facebook page and watch Dr. Prather's video answers to your questions. You're listening to The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather on Indiana's Voice of Freedom, Freedom 95. Welcome back to The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather of the Prather Wellness Center, the most comprehensive wellness center in the Midwest. And our focus today is on homeopathic medicine. And I don't know if our listeners have noticed, but I say homeopathic medicine, and you're calling it homeopathy. And I just have a hard time saying that, so I'm just going to be honest with people out there. I've never been professional about this.
I've heard it called quite a few different things.
I get a little nervous just before I say homeopathy. There we go. See? But so you might hear me call it homeopathic medicine. Yeah, it means the same thing, correct?
Correct.
All right. I wanted to let our listeners know that. Well, let's talk about, what is homeopathic medicine? You kind of gave the history of it and...
Just a little bit about that. It's based off of something called the Law of Similars. That is something that was known since the time of Hippocrates, that a little bit of something actually has the opposite effect of a lot. So utilizing that, one of the things is that during Hahnemann's time, there was an awful lot of gross medical, what I would consider, and everybody else would consider, quackery. A lot of the medicines actually did more damage than good. There was a lot of bloodletting. There was a lot of really...
Sounds awful.
Yeah, a lot of really terrible healthcare treatments out there. And he wanted something that was effective and safe. So he really dedicated himself to trying to find a form of medicine that would be a boon to people's health. A lot of people actually accused him at the beginning of just being in it for the money and things. And so he did a very interesting thing. He actually swore off any payments for any of his services or treatments.
Hmm.
So his poor family lived in poverty the entire time. But he wanted everyone to know of his pure motives in all this, and that he was really quite a someone who was trying to improve the lot of people. Homeopathy has, some question on its validity.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the things that certainly can't be denied is its general use and how effective it is and how many people have found so much help through it, through homeopathy.
Now, a lot of homeopathic medicine is found in nature, correct? Plants and...
The basis of homeopathy, and one of the things that can be easily... Some people actually confuse it with herbalism.
Right.
And you can actually use herbs in homeopathy. You can actually use different minerals, are actually used. Sulfur is an example of one. Mercury is another. There are not only that, but actually parts, animal parts that you can actually use.
But it shouldn't sarcodes. Be confused with herbal medicine, correct? They're not the same thing.
They're not the same thing. The herbals is you're actually using the actual product. In the homeopathy, you're using a very small amount. Matter of fact, a dilution that actually goes so dilute that there is no more of that chemical in the actual medicine. And one of the things is that homeopathy doesn't follow the laws of chemistry as we know it. We know that there is an actual effect, but why something in a very small amount has that effect on the body, we are still not completely sure on why that is, and why as you go into even lower amounts, sometimes you can actually have a deeper effect on the body. The way that I feel that things will eventually be explained, because the validity of it is something that I can't deny, and something that has been shown through many different types of clinical trials, that it does actually work. Some people have accused it of having a placebo effect, but it also works very well on infants and also on animals. I've had many veterinarians tell me just how effective that is. So, you know, it's certainly not a placebo effect on them because they don't even understand what's going on. But I think that the eventual scientific explanation of homeopathy will be found in what we would call quantum physics. Matter of fact, 80% of all new inventions are based on quantum physics. If quantum physics didn't work, you wouldn't be able to use your cell phone. Mm-hmm. So that's the basis of it. So as we understand quantum physics, I think we'll have a better understanding of homeopathy and probably actually discover the truth of it. But in just the normal physics and chemistry, it actually sort of defies explanation, which has made it difficult to be actually accepted. Modern medicine, the pharmaceutical medicine is based on a mechanistic mindset of understanding how the world works, and homeopathy does not fall into that group. Mm-hmm. It's more of a holism, more of vitalism, and to actually be able to understand it, you have to actually enter into that mindset to actually
and really
comprehend
science
it.
Needs to catch up. You know,
and one of the things is mm-hmm. Hahnemann might have. I mean, he seemed to have been ahead of his time.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so the understanding on that, we can't quite completely explain.
Mm-hmm.
The efficacy of it is certainly quite evident. It is something that is used by modern medicine. An example of that, of a product that's actually used quite a bit is Arnica.
Yeah, Arnica. And there for a while I didn't realize that was...
A homeopathic?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We have that in our medicine cabinet, and... Actually, I just gave it to our son the other day because he thought he had cracked his tooth, and I said, "Take that, you know, arnica under your tongue." Yeah, it was it's in a liquid form,
mm-hmm.
and had great results. The pain went away.
Sure, plastic surgeons right now, any type of facelift, any of those types of things, arnica is a standard on actually keeping the bruising down, keeping mm-hmm. the healing up. So very, very definitely, that's one thing that's well known.
We put it on after our blood draws and no one bruises.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. Mm-hmm. It's a very, very well-known type of a product, but definitely a homeopathic.
Do you, you know, there people say out there, well, do you have to believe in homeopathic medicine for it to work?
And I've actually had people come in and said, well, I don't want to do a homeopathic because I don't believe in it, and if you don't believe in it, how's it going to work? And I says, it doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
So we give it to them anyway, and they say, yeah, you know, it worked no matter what.
Right.
So I've never seen that whether you believe in it, whether you don't believe in it, you know, it really has no effect on that. And, you know, I certainly see, because we try to have a very evidence-based type of a practice.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, I want to see pre and post blood tests. I want to see the blood pressure drop. I want to see the results in a very short amount of time. And homeopathic, of almost any of the medicines, actually works quicker than anything else. We see excellent results with that, and see some, you know, really, really great things along those lines. But one of the things that probably kept homeopathy from actually being something that was much more came into the modern times was the difficulty in actually finding exactly which remedy. There was actually 3,000 homeopathic remedies that were considered what was called the classical. Then they actually added the new homeopathics, and that actually runs about 13,000 along with the 3,000.
And how many at the Prather Wellness Center do you have access to?
We actually have access to about 80,000 different things that we can make homeopathically. So, you know, the you have to hit the right one to actually get the right remedy. Not only that, but you have to have the right dilution. If you don't get things absolutely perfect, you don't actually get the desired results. So it's a very involved type of thing, involved in the studies. And people used to have a very long questioning type of thing. So a homeopathic remedy through the questioning would oftentimes take as many as 2 hours to actually figure out exactly what to utilize on someone. One of the things that we've been able to do to actually speed up that process is do something called electrodermal screening, where we can actually go through all the different remedies in a very short amount of time and actually get an electronic reading on which one's going to work on an individual.
That makes it very specific.
It makes it very specific and also speeds up the process, because people don't really like to spend 2 hours with their doctor figuring out exactly what it is that they're going to take.
No comment.
I'm sure people like to spend 2 hours with me, but I'm not really convinced of that. So we can actually find that in a very short amount of time and actually find out exactly what's going to work for the patient.
Yeah, and that's what's nice. You do lab work prior to getting them on the electrodermal screening, which is FDA approved.
Of course.
And then you recheck those.
And then we recheck those lab tests to make sure that we're actually getting things under control in a reasonable amount of time. And what's nice is that we can actually take care of a lot of problems through homeopathy that aren't normally being able to be treated.
Give me an example of that.
Well, there are some rather rare diseases that we have that come in through the office. We had a young lady, I won't get into the specifics on that, but she had an autoimmune disease of the lymph nodes in her small intestine. There wasn't any pharmaceuticals for it. Was given a very poor prognosis, and was actually told that she would probably die from that. We were able to start her on a program. We did some dietary types of things, but definitely one of the big things that we did was the homeopathy. And with that, was able to actually take care of this problem that was beyond medical technology at this point. So there are many people who come in with health conditions that are not normally taken care of, that we can actually give them hope, because we do have such a wide variety and an ability to actually find a remedy that is not normally known of through homeopathy.
Okay. When we come back, let's talk about some of the remedies for homeopathic medicine. Well, you're listening to The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather on Indiana's Voice of Freedom, Freedom 95. Welcome back to The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather, and I'm Lisa Prather. We're talking today about homeopathic medicine, and it's been very informative. You know, you talked about in the first segment the history of homeopathic medicine. And I know Dr. Oz had a whole show dedicated to homeopathy. at the end of January this year.
Right, Dr. Oz is actually a very big fan of homeopathy and something that he likes to present. And it's very nice because it is an effective, but with no side effects.
Mm-hmm.
Or very minimal side effects associated with it. So it's whenever you're looking at treatments for an ailment that someone might have, what you're first looking for is the safest, least invasive, least problematic of any type of a treatment.
Right.
So homeopathy is a very good way to actually start a treatment or actually incorporate into a treatment that's already going on, because you're not going to get a lot of problems that are associated with that. One of the things that we find in modern medicine is something called polypharmacy.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, polypharmacy is anything where you have five or more medicines. The reason that that's such a problem is as you make those chemical combinations, then you actually don't know what you're getting. There's no prediction on what kind of effect you'll have on the body. And usually most of those effects are negative. So pharmaceuticals, really to be safe, really, I recommend really taking no more than three.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have some continued problems, what do you do in that type of instance? Well, homeopathy is a very good alternative on that if you still are having some conditions that you need to have treated. There's no interactions as you are taking homeopathic. You can take as many as are necessary without the problems that might be associated with pharmaceuticals. Now, should pharmaceuticals be eliminated and homeopathy take over? Absolutely not. Pharmaceuticals are something that we recommend that people get in our office.
Mm-hmm.
We don't actually give them out ourselves, but we send them to other doctors when it's appropriate, when it's needed. But the homeopathy is a very, very good alternative to a lot of the healthcare woes that we're actually going through. One of the things that homeopathy is extremely helpful with is in dealing with children.
Oh, okay. Now, can children take homeopathic medicine?
Matter of fact, it's actually recommended. Only a very small number of pharmaceuticals have actually been tested on children. And one of the things that is very true is children's physiology are completely different than an adult's.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that, giving children Ritalin. Ritalin is actually something that, for an adult, acts very much like cocaine. It speeds it up. But for a child, it actually has the opposite effect.
Mm-hmm.
And oftentimes, pharmaceuticals have the opposite effect on a child as opposed to
an adult.
So very few tests have been done on children with pharmaceuticals to see if they're safe, how well they work. Matter of fact, even a lot of the cough syrups, which were considered quite mild, have had some very negative effects on children, and they've been taken off the market for them.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can use a homeopathic for a child, that is the much, much better way of doing it. We have many moms who are bringing in their kids for all sorts of different types of conditions. One of the ones that I can think of is that there's a wonderful homeopathic called Spongiatus, which is made out of sponge, which is excellent for coughs. And the moms say, wow, I just couldn't live without that, because...
Mm-hmm. That's another one to have in your medicine cabinet.
It's extremely safe. Kids take it real well. And as almost all the moms says, it works far, far better than any of the cough medicine they've ever had.
Mm-hmm.
With none of the risks.
Mm-hmm.
Belladonna is very well known for taking down fevers in children.
Mm-hmm.
I've got most of my moms that come into my office have some belladonna in their medicine cabinet.
Mm-hmm.
So that in a homeopathic form, you don't want to use that in a herbal form, because mm-hmm. it is a poison in that form.
Mm-hmm.
But belladonna in a homeopathic form is very, very safe and can really bring down a fever quite quickly. So there are it's an excellent means of treating a patient. One, children should probably be the first medicine that you actually go to, even preferred over herbal.
And what about women that are pregnant?
That's another thing. You don't want to take pharmaceuticals while you're pregnant. There is a definite taboo against that, which because it can cause all sorts of problems. Because whatever mom takes, the baby takes. And homeopathy is a great way to actually alleviate a lot of the symptoms, treat mom with absolutely no risk for the baby. So a very nice way to do
that
it.
Is, yeah.
You know, if people who are sensitive, I have many patients who came in and says, I just can't take pharmaceuticals. I have too many problems with it, too many side effects, and they just all make me sick. So I need to have something that actually works. And the homeopathic has been a very, very easy type of treatment on them with excellent results.
You know, when you were talking about the belladonna, in a herbal form, is
poisonous.
Poisonous.
Well, it's actually used as a poison.
Whereas, but in a homeopathic,
absolutely.
See,
safe.
I mean, you really need to know what you're doing.
Yes, and that is one of the things that definitely there's a big difference between because a lot of homeopathics are just sold in drugstores and you know, health food stores. But really having someone who's knowledgeable and knows what's actually going to work in a certain situation on a certain individual is very important, because there's so many different types of choices out there. There's no way that a layperson could be able to figure out exactly which homeopathic that they actually need.
Now, how did you get involved with homeopathic medicine?
Well, when I got into functional medicine, the training that I was getting, one of the things that they were offering was also learning about homeopathic. So I started training under several different homeopathic doctors that were very well known here in the United States, and found it so effective that I really spent quite a bit of time figuring out exactly how to do this and how to do this properly. Another thing is that the electrodermal screening was an excellent teaching tool. So utilizing it quite a bit in my practice, and being able to read all the different types of books and do all the different types of studies involved with that has really helped me to become very proficient in that.
Okay. Well, what conditions respond to homeopathy?
Homeopathy is something that is just so wide range. We've had excellent responses in hormones. We've had excellent responses in detoxing patients. Infections. We've had people who actually had infections, that bacterial infections, that were antibiotic resistant. Couldn't really find any other types of treatments that worked well. Started them on a homeopathic regimen and were able to actually see excellent results, where the patient was actually able to get over their disease in a very short amount of time. Viruses, oftentimes there aren't pharmaceuticals that are actually appropriate for that. So viruses, it's actually a something that is actually a preferred way of actually approaching that.
Right. So there's not a lot in conventional medicine to help with viruses, is there?
Absolutely. We have a lot of patients who, in this area, histoplasmosis is very common. Actually going through some homeopathics along that, we've been able to clear up some severe cases that weren't responding to anything else. So keeping homeopathic as an alternative on what might work and what might not, everybody responds differently to different types of medications, to treatments, and it's just another weapon in my arsenal. And we have quite a few. So we have the homeopathy, we have the nutritional work, we have dietary, we have herbals. And as we can combine those, we can actually see which one is actually working the best on the patient in the results that we actually see.
Now, you made me think of something when you said diet. Are there restrictions on diet that must be practiced when people are on homeopathic medicine?
Well, you don't want to take mints, you don't want to take chocolate, and you don't want to take coffee right with your homeopathics. Because
what
they
do you mean,
seem
at
to
the same time or right. while you're taking on them?
If you're actually taking them at the same time, they can actually negate some of the effects.
Oh, okay.
Now, the old homeopathics, the classical homeopathics, said not to take them at all. We haven't found too much of an effect as long as there's about a 10-minute gap between taking the homeopathic and taking the coffee or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
We don't really see too much changes. But in the old literature, they actually said none of those things because they felt it interfered with it.
Mm-hmm.
So just being aware of a few of those things is helpful.
Mm-hmm.
And just like with any medicine, if you take that by itself, let it rest, not take anything at all for about at least 10 minutes before or after, mm-hmm. We seem to get the best effects.
Okay. Do you have a question for Dr. Prather about today's show? Go to thevoiceofhealthradio.com to ask your question on our Facebook page and watch Dr. Prather's video answer to your question. You're listening to The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather on Indiana's Voice of Freedom, Freedom 95. Welcome back to The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather. I'm Lisa Prather, and we're talking today about homeopathy, homeopathic medicine, and I'm finding it very informative. I think our listeners will appreciate, you know, the history. And
it's nice to have an alternative type of medicine. It's a very broad range of things that can be treated through homeopathic medicine, and it's something that people can add to the repertoire in trying to get well.
Yeah, you know, that word alternative, we don't like to use it because it's been around
longer
than pharmaceuticals, and so yet it's the alternative.
And the proper term on that is it's classified in structure function medicine.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a functional type of medicine where you're actually working to achieve the health in the body through balancing it. It's not a pharmaceutical which actually deals with the diseases per se. What it does is it helps to balance the body, and as you balance the body, you get it into homeostasis and the body heals itself. Homeopathic does not force the body to heal. What homeopathic does is it helps to bring the body into better homeostasis so the body can heal itself. So homeopathy only accomplishes what the body can actually work on its own.
Mm-hmm.
Pharmaceuticals override the body. That's one of the good ways to think about when to use structure function care and when to use disease care, which is the pharmaceutical route, is about 80% of the time things should be taken care of functionally, whereas 20% it should be treated in a disease manner. And when the body is no longer able to heal itself, that's when you need the pharmaceuticals.
And we get that turned around, don't we, here in the
United
States?
We do. We actually overuse the pharmaceuticals, and that's one thing that is a not just a concern of mine, but is a concern of many of the top healthcare officials in the United States.
Well, let's talk about the article in the Indianapolis Star yesterday.
Yes.
We just posted it on our Facebook, so make sure you go to our Facebook, read the article, but it's about the overuse of antibiotics.
Yes, that is something that is definitely a problem because antibiotics are a very precious commodity. And as we have overused them, and antibiotics are most effective when they are needed. When they aren't needed, they actually start to create strains of bacteria that are antibiotic resistant. And right now, many of the different bacteria that are out there, there's about 20 to 30% of the bacteria that are no longer, antibiotics are no longer effective, which puts people at risk. So we should actually be first thinking, as someone comes in with any type of a any type of an illness, can we treat this without antibiotics first, so that we don't have that overuse and don't have those problems that actually come from over use of antibiotics? Because there is actually an antibiotic syndrome where we actually have a collapse of the gut flora and have a collapse of the immune system. So overuse, one, is not good for our protection against bacterial infections, because no longer then are the antibiotics workable. But also it causes syndromes within our own body that causes disease in and of itself. So homeopathy is one of those, just one of the alternatives on that, that's a functional type of medicine that doesn't create that situation. Matter of fact, I've had many people who have come into my office who have found that they have a resistant bacterial infection that could actually wind up killing them. And we've been able to, through homeopathy, been able to clear those out. So it's always a good thing to actually look at those. Yes, as long as it's not an emergency situation, then we should actually try those, that functional medicine first, see if we can get things under control. And if you are needing to take a pharmaceutical disease type of care, then oftentimes you need the support of the functional medicine to be able to handle those strong pharmaceuticals that can actually throw the body out of balance. So it's something that we would find a great deal of improvement in the overall health of America and our individual health if we started to consider those things as a part of our healthcare system.
Yeah, just the overuse, you know.
Well, you know, we talked about earlier in one of the segments, polypharmacy. The average person over 70 is on 8 different medicines, which is, by definition, polypharmacy. And many of the symptoms that I'm actually seeing in a lot of my patients is actually created by the pharmaceuticals themselves. So, you know, we need to certainly, the pharmaceuticals are a wonderful boon to humanity, but we need to treat them differently than what we're treating them now. It's not the pharmaceuticals' fault. It's how we are actually utilizing them.
Well, and you talked about viruses, too. You can use homeopathic medicine.
Very, very effective. And, of course, when we're talking about the viruses, then there aren't really the pharmaceuticals for those. So, you know, utilizing those in those types of instances are very good.
Well, let's talk about, are there different categories of homeopathy? We talked about the classical.
Classical is sort of the standard. There's 3,000 classical homeopathic medicines that are actually listed in the FDA. But there are actually other different types of classifications. As we are actually treating infections, we would use a classification called nosodes.
Okay.
Nosodes are homeopathics made out of the individual bacteria, viruses, fungus. So we actually have a listing of about 1,500 different bacterial infections, about 3,000 viral infections, about again about 1,000 fungal infections that can occur. We also have a listing of the parasitic infections that are known to man. And you can actually make what's called a nosode, and those are specifically for a pathogen. So nosodes is also another classification of homeopathics. You also have sarcodes, which are organs. So we can actually have a homeopathic for your liver, homeopathic for your eyes, homeopathic for your thyroid, and those are called sarcodes. So there are several different types of classifications of homeopathics, and then when we're actually dealing with overall health, there's something called constitutionals. which everyone actually has a basic constitutional type of remedy. And one of the things that constitutions really help out with are emotional, psychological type of problems. Mm-hmm. We actually can get some very, very good results with that. So homeopathics not only can be helpful in symptomatology, they can also be helpful for building up the body and going after infections, sort of stimulating the immune system. But they can also be used on an emotional and psychological level. Mm-hmm. There are many different patients that I have in my office that are their underlying condition is more on the emotional, psychological level. And as we can get into the homeopathics, we can actually start to help those things. The constitutionals help to balance out the brain chemistry. We also have flower remedies. There's the famous Bach flower remedies. There are Australian flower remedies. There's Perilandria. There's a whole group of different types of emotional type of homeopathics that can really bring a lot of calmness, relaxation, help to bring things to the forefront and help people to actually deal with a lot of
and
the issues.
And no side effects.
And that's one of the nice things is the no side effects. I've had many people, their main complaint as they came in was anxiety and depression with some amazing types of results. One of the things as you take pharmaceuticals, especially for depression and anxiety, eventually they stop working as well. Mm-hmm. You know, so if I've had people who've gone through three or four different types of medicines, effective at the beginning, but then stopped being effective and decided that they wanted to try a different type of approach. And one of the nice things about the homeopathic approach is that people actually, in other words, eventually they didn't need something to take. Mm-hmm. There was actually a healing process that took place and a more long-lasting type of a remedy.
So people won't be on homeopathic medicine the rest of their lives.
Right. Well, I mean, we all have different types of problems, but yes, those actually issues do resolve. And we get an actual healing that takes place, which is nice, so that they're not dependent mm-hmm. on something to take to actually be balanced in their thinking.
So how do you know if you need a homeopathic remedy?
Well, the main thing on that is to actually be looking to get a good examination, get a good consultation with someone who knows what they're doing on this type of thing. And then to actually find out exactly which ones might work the best.
Great. Well, Dr. Prather, we have about 30 seconds. Do you want to go ahead and summarize?
One of the things I would really encourage people to do is definitely you need your disease care physician, but you also need a functional physician as part of your care. So coming in, making sure that you have someone that you can work with along those lines, and that you think of your healthcare as 80% functional and 20% disease care would be a good way to kind of rethink how you are actually approaching your health.
Well, thank you, Dr. Prather. We're out of time. Wonderful show. We will have this on our podcast. So let people know they can listen to it. Our Facebook will have that article on the overuse of antibiotics. So go to our Facebook at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. The Prather Wellness Center is located at 8902 North Meridian Street on the north side of Indianapolis, just south of the I-465 loop. Join us again here next week or anytime on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. For The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather.